This is the morning brief from the Economic Times.
IPL 2021 has been suspended. Postponed is another word that has been used in the press release of the BCCI.
Massive COVID crisis. But nevertheless, the IPL had to be suspended. This time, though, because of various participants testing positive. Some players, some support staff members of the IPL have tested positive for COVID-19. This has happened in various teams. And then came the decision earlier today that the IPL will be suspended.
The Indian Premier League, or IPL, is an annual carnival of cricket and entertainment. Meant as a respite in the evenings for sports enthusiasts, IPL this year got labelled as tone deaf when it decided to go ahead with the matches even as India's COVID numbers galloped. This week, when players and other contingent members tested positive, this session of IPL was postponed indefinitely. But did the organizers react too late? I'm Devina Sengupta and you're listening to The Morning Brief. Today I talk to Joy Bhattacharya, former director of an IPL team, Kolkata Knight Riders, K. Srinivas Rao from The Times of India, who has been tracking IPL, and my colleague Gaurav Laghate, who reports on the business of the game. I'll ask them how the IPL bubble burst and the impact the postponement will have on the organizers, sponsors, and those who depend on it for their livelihoods. Good morning, Joy, Srinivas, and Gaurav, and thank you for being with us on this podcast.
Hi, good morning.
Thank you. Pleasure being here.
Joy, has the decision to stop IPL, or rather postpone IPL, come in very late when players for a while were testing positive and many of the staff inside the bubbles created were also testing positive?
See, once you start something, a behemoth like the IPL, I think you're duty bound both to the players and the team to go with it as long as you can go. Because once you accept the fundamental premise that, okay, it's required, it's something that's entertainment, it's something that has already started, so you've already brought so many people here, then it was their business to take it through as long as possible. But I think under those circumstances, once you've mobilized all these resources to start moving, it was imperative on them to carry it on as far as possible.
But it worked in UAE and it did not work in India. What was the difference?
So I have some fundamental things. You know, one of the things is that, you know, these are basic management parlance that you have. Sometimes a benign, an outsider is better to have than an insider. Now, what happened in the UAE was they had a bubble company or experts out there who had nothing to do with India or Indian cricket, who were monitoring the entire thing. And I remember commentators and even players, you know, telling me about, you know, how tough it was and how these guys were over the top in being tough, which they probably were. But I think what we didn't realize out there is that when you're in an outside country, A, B is when you have or deal with people who don't care whether you're a cricket star or a cricketer or a famous commentator, then their ability to become strict with you and their ability to actually say that, no, sorry, you can't do this, becomes much, much more. So there's no external body who's pushing back saying that, okay, these norms have to be maintained. Now, suppose you are working in the IPL, okay, and therefore you are employed by the IPL. How easy or difficult is it for you to turn around and tell somebody, say, of the higher management saying that, oh, you know, my son wants just one picture, it won't make any difference. Or that, you know, we just need to go out there and just meet somebody for 2 minutes. So that is the problem. Within a country as populous as India, with so many venues and without an outside body who actually didn't care and would just could be very tough and strict, the chances of some sort of a breach happening in India were much, much, much higher.
Gaurav, this IPL, were there discussions that it should be scheduled in Sharjah or Dubai like it happened last year? Was it because it was too expensive or we thought we were over the COVID hurdle?
So, right, Devina, as you said, there were discussions, yes. And one set of people, they wanted it to happen in UAE, but there was other set who were very keen on doing IPL in India. And the main reason was they wanted to show the preparedness ahead of the T20 World Cup. I guess, and also because the cases were down. I mean, we have to remember that cases were down at that time, that there was no second wave in the horizon. So I think they got overconfident that they can do it and the cases are down and the vaccines are coming in. So just in their hubris of showing to the world that we can do, we can prepare, we can run this kind of a huge league, even in the middle of a pandemic. That was the idea.
Right. So over-optimism could have cost us a lot of money. And Shrini, coming to the finances aspect, and you have been tracking IPL throughout, BCCI is said to incur losses of over 2,000 crore due to the postponement of IPL. And this is one of the biggest money spinners for sponsors and BCCI. How much will this impact their coffers?
In many ways, losses that we read about, I mean, I myself have written about it, but in many ways, when you look at these losses, these are really notional because you can't put an exact figure in many ways to, you know, what exactly is going to be the impact. I'll give you an example. You know, 29 matches have been played so far, 31 are left, which means around 50% of the IPL was played, 50% was remaining. So from whatever payments are going to be made from the central pool, revenue pool, whatever star pays to the BCCI, whatever the, you know, central sponsors pay to the BCCI, there's going to be 50% of the amount, the total amount. So IPL's revenue for the year, in case if it does not happen for the year 2021, if it's been completely shelved, has been halved. But this is on paper.
Okay.
What we do not consider, because what do we consider? When we look at these figures, what do we consider? We consider, you know, what is the broadcaster paying for the rights? What are the sponsors paying? Or you know, what are the official partners paying to BCCI for the IPL? These are what we look at when we consider revenues of IPL. But we don't consider that this is not the be all and end all of why IPL is important from a business perspective. You know, there is a groundsman at a Wankhede Stadium. There is a groundsman at the Eden Gardens in Kolkata who makes his annual income when the IPL happens, you know. And you and me, the viewers, we pay for our Hotstar subscription. I mean, that money is not going to come back. So these are the actual losses that the IPL is going to suffer. Like, you know, in the sense, at a very small level, because at the level at which Star and BCCI and the players are there, those are notional losses. And they don't really mean anything in the larger scheme of things, because what has been lost this year is going to be made up next year.
But Joy, IPL right from the start this year, at least few weeks down the line when it started getting a lot of negativity. There was a lot of flack, especially on social media, which termed the IPL as tone deaf and being insensitive to the crisis the rest of the country was facing. Matches happened in Ahmedabad and Delhi, which saw so many deaths. Now, these calls have received a lot of negative comments. Has the image of IPL taken a severe beating now?
Two things. One is that the image of IPL every year from year one takes a severe beating for some reason or the other. And it makes the brand bigger and bigger and bigger. Okay, from Shoaib Akhtar being banned to Lalit Modi going out to two teams being banned. Which of these has actually hurt the IPL financially? Tell me. Look, that doesn't matter. And that honestly doesn't bother. I'll tell you what does bother me. And that's for me a much deeper question and a question that we need to struggle with. Is that when this started, one is that there was nobody in the IPL who turned around and said, you know what, we are in the middle of a pandemic. There are some things that we need to do, some SOPs. The game has to go on because we believe and genuinely believe that people are getting entertainment. And once this commitment has been done, let's go with it and let's give them something deep. But can we wear, say, black armbands? Can we have responsible statements? Can we have teams getting together and figuring out what they can do in their local community? All this, in my opinion, happened way too late, because what worries me is that there was nobody at that point in the administration, and this has to come from the BCCI, not just from the teams, who turned around and said, you know what, we are in the middle of a pandemic, we will continue to do it, but it must be done in a responsible way, in a way that takes cognizance of the fact that what is happening all around us is an absolute total catastrophe.
Yes.
I think that came too little and too late for me, and that saddens me.
Shrini, These things matter a lot. And why wasn't this done? Because players throughout were, you know, putting up photographs of their families in the bubble. And these were all very happy photographs. There was no comment on personal donation. And in times when a large amount of work is happening over social media like Twitter. Besides donation from Pat Cummins and then few followed, there was absolutely mum silence from BCCI.
Where donations and participating in these causes are concerned, what Pat Cummins did was very, very highly appreciated on social media and everywhere.
Pat Cummins has also said that he would contribute $50,000 so that India can purchase oxygen, extending a helping hand in these difficult times.
And of course, it inspired others to do the same. But it's not like the others didn't do anything. Those who were posting this on social media, it's not like they were sitting there doing nothing. I know of several cricketers who have done a lot in very, very different ways, which they have not gone ahead and posted on Twitter. And by saying that, I don't mean that what Pat Cummins did was wrong. What Pat Cummins did was actually very important because it inspired a lot many others in the IPL fraternity, among cricketers, especially among overseas cricketers, to take cognizance of what was required, what is important. So that was indeed a very, very a wonderful thing that he did. But it's wrong to say that, the others did not do anything. Most cricketers, especially the senior India cricketers and all, I know have silently participated in a lot of effort that has gone behind the scenes.
What are your sources in BCCI saying? What will be the next step now?
Well, they're saying a lot of things. First of all, they had an emergency meeting yesterday morning, which started at around 10:30, 11. Until then, until the night before, the idea was to shift the IPL to Mumbai. For this, they had spoken to the government of Maharashtra. They spoke with, the Environment and Cultural Minister Aditya Thackeray. The meeting ensured that Mr. Thackeray gave them the go-ahead to, kind of host the matches in Mumbai under certain protocols. So the BCCI until yesterday morning was, Tuesday morning, right? Yeah. So until then, the BCCI was convinced that they will go ahead and ship the matches to Mumbai. Except that one particular franchise at around 11:30 in the morning put its foot down and said it will not continue. No matter what, in the current circumstances, the franchise said we will not continue with the IPL anymore. That was the starting point. After that, two other franchisees agreed to support what that one franchise was saying. After that, broadcaster Star came on board. They said, okay, this makes sense. I mean, we also agree to it. And that's how the buildup started happening. So what was the BCCI thinking? The BCCI wasn't really thinking until 24 hours ago, until these voices started coming together and things started happening. That is when they started taking cognizance of the fact that people actually are thinking differently and we need to do something about it, which is when they went into an emergency meeting and which is when this decision came. Now, this decision, it comes with a lot of after effects. Why? Because number one, the IPL has been left midway at 50%. Can it be held? Trust me, between now and the end of the year, as far as possible, the BCCI and the stakeholders of the IPL are going to try and see in some way or the other if this tournament can be concluded. If not in the same format, tweak it a bit. I'll give you an example. Maybe select the top four teams right now, finish it with a knockout, or probably, have a 12-15 day window, do double headers every day. As long as the broadcasters and the BCCI are on the same page, along with the franchisees, the effort will be to talk out at least a two-week window to complete the remaining set of the IPL.
Gaurav, IPL is expected to be followed by T20 World Cup in India. Do you think it is going to happen right now?
No. So the thing is, I don't think until and unless situation improves drastically, there is no chance that T20 World Cup can be held in India. I think BCCI has also agreed and that they have said that it may happen in UAE, though BCCI will keep the rights. So I think what BCCI is thinking that just ahead of the T20 World Cup, they can have the remaining of the tournament.
Joy, a larger picture out here is, and you have been so intrinsically involved with the IPL before, A, how difficult it is for franchisees to pull out? What kind of pressures do they face? B, we have had players pull out even in this IPL, you know, like Andrew Tai and Liam Livingstone, Ashwin, Adam Zampa, they have opted out. Could a similar stance have been picked up by the senior players who have been playing for India, saying safety is important?
I think they don't. I think the BCCI would have assured them of all safety being taken care of. You know, that's one thing the BCCI would have told them, that we look after you. They have the evidence of Dubai. So the BCCI would tell them, look, we took you to Dubai, we kept you safe, we brought you back. Okay. I mean, so there's no reason for any senior player to turn around and say that I'm at risk. Secondly, let's separate the cases. Ashwin was a very different case. Ashwin's family was infected and he went there for the sake of his family. That's one thing. A lot of the other players, two things happen. One is that if you're a player who's not playing, you're wondering, I'm not even playing in the team. I'm sitting outside and I'm risking my life. And B is that I'll tell you personally that anyway, even when there was no COVID, IPL is like a bubble. It's a very high pressure bubble when your team is, you're in a hotel, you're moving from hotel to hotel. All you see are hotels, airports, and practice grounds. That's all you see. And if you're not playing anyway, there's a huge psychological impact on players. You know, especially guys who are in the fringes. They know that they don't have a chance. On top of that, if you put this COVID threat on top of it and the fact that they're in a bubble and their isolation is much, much more stringent, it is very difficult for a lot of players. So they've broken for very different reasons. You know, some of the foreign players have broken because they said, you know, I'm not even going to play out here. I'm not getting a chance and I'm sitting out here risking my life. What am I doing here? So they've sort of left. The other thing is that, you see, they're in a very strange bind now because these, a lot of the senior Indian players will have to return almost immediately because they're going to go and play the World Test Championships. And in the World Test Championships, they'll have to enter another bubble before they go out of India, practice in that bubble and then leave. Or they go to the UK, do their quarantine out there and then start practicing out there. So it's not as if they're going to, at least 12, 13 of them are almost going to immediately going to go into some sort of bubble again after 2-3 days. So this was, in many ways, a lot of people thought that in any case, if I've come this far out, I might as well go and complete it.
Okay, but Srini, one thing I wanted to come back to you on is that now what is the fate of foreign players, especially the Australians who are stuck? I mean, their country said that, you know, entering is not going to be an easy task anymore. So what is the process now?
That ban which the country has put, it's up for review. It actually ends on, technically, it ends on the 15th. It's up for review on the 15th. So, you know, the Australian government is going to take a revision call on the 15th. So what everybody is expecting here is that there is going to be a leeway for, you know, player, cricketers and every other support staff that is traveling back to Australia, which was here for the IPL. In the meantime, what the franchisees are trying to do is they're trying to work together. Most franchisees are trying to come together in order to see what can be done for these cricketers. For example, you know, there are Australian cricketers in almost every franchise. So in terms of chartering a flight, franchises are planning to come together in order to accommodate and put them in one flight, you know, the details of which are being worked out as we speak. There is a chance that these cricketers could be sent to Sri Lanka or to Maldives, which, you know, where commentator like Michael Slater is already gone. He's already quarantining in Maldives. So these cricketers could be sent to these countries, these places where they quarantine for a week or something until the Australian government starts revising its protocols, and from there they head home.
Right. Joy, correct me if I'm wrong, but what about insurance? You know, when a match gets cancelled or when a series gets cancelled, is it insured? Are players insured? How does one get compensated?
Look, I think in my time, there used to be insurance, definitely. There used to be match insurance and player insurance also used to be taken out. What I'm not aware of, and maybe Srini is in a much better position to say, is in these COVID times, which they managed to get an insurance or not for a tournament, because I would imagine that the premiums in, say, in 2014, when there was, you know, everything was fine outside, and the premiums now would be very, very different. So I am not aware of whether this year they got insurance for the kind of tournament they did or the players. So that Srini or Gaurav might have a better handle on that.
Yeah, I would like to chip in
sure,
here
Gaurav.
Because, of course, As Joy said, you know, till last year, neither BCCI nor Star or any franchisee had anticipated any situation that may arise due to a global pandemic. And even the insurance policies taken by anyone at that time to cover IPL had no clauses on pandemics. However, you know, all the contracts now accounts for pandemic and have specific clauses in case of suspension, postponement, or cancellation of the event, mostly as per mutual agreements. Yes, the premiums have gone up. I was talking to some people. They said almost 15 to 20% also in some cases. But all have those contingencies in place now.
Right. Thank you, Joy, Srinivas and Gaurav, for breaking down the far-reaching consequences of a postponed IPL. Taking few lines from ET's editor views, Indrajit Hazra's latest column, IPL 2021 provided many a sliver of silver in billowing dark clouds. But till this rotten state of pitch, country and world passes, there are other things to take one's mind off our fears, worries and anguish. I'm Devina Sengupta and you've been listening to The Morning Brief. This episode was edited by Nehal Chaliawala and coordinated by Bhavya Dilip Kumar. I hope you enjoyed listening to the episode. Do send in your feedback to themorningbrief@timesgroup.com and share the episode on your social media networks. The Morning Brief airs every Tuesday, Thursday and Friday. Thank you for listening and have a nice day ahead. The IPL theme music used in this podcast belongs to BCCI.